Welcome to Unity of Fairfax, a positive path for spiritual living and spiritual center for education, practice, and service in Northern Virginia. We hope you find inspiration in this week's message.
Let's keep that heart connection. The heart being the secret place of the Most High. Breathing into our heart space, I invite you to rest in this affirmation of truth. At the heart and root and foundation of you and of your life and of your experience is the wholeness of the universal creative process expressing itself as you. Don't let yourself wonder how. Let all of these human thoughts go. Bring your attention to the now, and in your heart, just feel your oneness with the allness of the infinite. Let's affirm again, I am the ever-renewing, ever-unfolding expression of God's perfect life in me. Hold on to that affirmation, friends. A greater reality is born in this awareness. So, let's get ready for 2020 Wonderful. But how do we get ready? Will it require a shift in our consciousness? Well, perhaps. But I believe that we already have a head start with a clue found in the Christmas story. And so I'm going to stay with this Christmas story today, my talk entitled Christmas and Beyond, Christ in You, Your Hope of Glory. And I'd like to invite you to continue to consider on this third day of Christmas that this scripture passage, Christ in You, Your Hope of Glory, from Paul's letter to the Colossians, is metaphysically a core message of Christmas, with this story as a metaphor of the birthing, awakening, and unfolding of our higher self, the Christ. And so this Christmas story speaks of a promise fulfilled in our day, in our lives, right here and right now. Thich Nhat Hanh wrote that awakening is always arriving. And so with each breath, we expand. With each breath, we are invited into a deeper awareness of the power and presence, the potential within us to heal and transform the Christ. I came across this quote by poet Carl Sandburg, which seems very timely. A baby is God's opinion that life should go on. I'm not sure about you, but I find this to be a very comforting and hopeful thought in light of this year of 2020 that we're moving through. This Christmas story, celebrating the birth of a child who was believed to be the fulfillment of God's promise of faithfulness throughout all generations, but who himself grew into an awareness, not only of God with us, but of his oneness with the divine. When Paul referred to Christ in you, he wasn't referring to Jesus, born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, but to the dimension of divinity. Metaphysically, we speak of glory as being the realization of divine unity, of our mind with God mind, and the infinite potential inherent in that realization. Within every person is the unborn possibility of limitless growth, and ours is the privilege of giving birth to it in every season of our lives, not just at Christmas time. The Christ is awakened and reborn in our consciousness in each moment of conscious connection with that of God within. Christ consciousness is where the spirit of Christmas, peace, love, and goodwill to all, is already established and waiting to be recognized. This awareness of Christ in you, in me, gives me reason to go on, and not just in survival mode, but with a sense of hope and intention. There are a number of passages in the Hebrew Scriptures that foretell the coming of a Messiah. We often hear these passages at Christmas time, one being from the book of Isaiah, which is sung in Handel's Messiah, "For unto us a child is born." However, I want to share a prophecy from the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke in the first chapter, which is often referred to as the Canticle of Zechariah, a canticle being a hymn, and this one a hymn of praise and thanksgiving. Before I read the passage, though, a bit of the backstory and some metaphysical Bible interpretation. Zechariah was a high priest in the temple in Jerusalem and was married to Elizabeth, who was the first cousin of Mary, who was to give birth to Jesus. Zechariah and Elizabeth were both people of faith, but they were also older, and Elizabeth was unable to bear children, which at the time was considered a consequence of unrighteous behavior. The angel Gabriel appears to Zechariah and proclaims that they had won God's favor and that Elizabeth would bear a son who would prepare the way for the Messiah. Zechariah doubts Gabriel's proclamation and is struck dumb and unable to speak as punishment for doubting God's promise. Elizabeth has the child, and this passage from Luke is of her bringing the child to the temple for circumcision and naming. Zechariah is still unable to speak, but on seeing the baby, his voice returns and he sings this hymn of praise and thanksgiving for God's faithfulness. While I could go a lot further in interpreting this passage metaphysically, several key points. Zechariah means God has remembered. Elizabeth means God's promises are firm and that nothing is impossible in God. The dawn from on high breaking upon us speaks of our awakening and expanding consciousness in the light of truth. John means witness to the light. Mary represents the soul that magnifies the Lord. And so here in this passage, and with this brief metaphysical background, I'd ask you to listen and see how it speaks to your heart. The passage reads this way. Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness all the days of our lives. And you, little child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. And here ends the reading. Some of my takeaways: an awareness of God as tender compassion. God's promises are law, being firm, unchanging. God has promised, or I am held in the mind of God, that nothing is impossible in God, and that I am meant to bear witness to the light, or the indwelling Christ. Do you see the promise spoken of in the scripture fulfilled in your life? Does or how might your life more authentically bear witness to the light? I'd like to share a memory and a drawing that personalizes this Christmas story for me. Growing up, my favorite class was art, anything art. And when I was in second grade, so about 7 years old, I won first prize in an art contest in school. I don't recall what the assignment was, but the image on the screen of the flower growing in the cave is what I drew. The drawing with the gold star hung in the classroom for a few days, and then it moved to the refrigerator in our kitchen at home. This is a stylized version of the original, which was lost over the years. And I say stylized because I've been redrawing this image and reflecting on it for some 58 years now, as I've continued to explore its symbolism in my life. The very short interpretation of the drawing is that the cave represents my heart, where I connect with the divine I am. All life and all potential is born in this center, born in mystery, which is represented by the flower. The life born in the center is meant to flow outward, to be shared. Trusting my heart, affirming my loving and creative self, allows it to flow. Not trusting, not standing on principle, not allowing mystery or God to express through me, limits my expansion and potential. The invitation for me is to show up and shine. Both the flower in the drawing and the icon of the birth of Jesus in the cave represent to me mystery or the divine made manifest. Each Christmas, we celebrate the birth of a man who taught us that the kingdom of heaven is within, and we are meant to make it real. Christmas calls for a commitment to let something be born in us, something to happen through us. But this awakening is an ongoing process. And the truth is that we can only become what we already are. This process is not adding to, it's drawing forth, it's unfolding or evolving who we are at core, our divine nature, or as the poet Robert Browning said, opening out a way whence the imprisoned splendor may escape. In his book, The Third Jesus, Deepak Chopra writes, "I want to offer the possibility that Jesus was, as he proclaimed, a savior. Not the savior, not the one and only Son of God. Rather, Jesus embodied the highest level of enlightenment. He spent his brief adult life describing it, teaching it, and passing it on to future generations. Jesus intended to save the world by showing others the path to God consciousness. The great event in Jesus' life was not his birth, but the breakthrough in consciousness through the years of his life. He discovered the indwelling Christ, the divine dimension within all persons. He didn't come to tell the world of his divinity, making him a great exception, but to tell the world of our divinity, making him the great example." And so what is the Christ or Christ consciousness? Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore wrote, "Christ is the mind of God individualized. The Christ is really the totality of your wholeness, of your perfection. It is the sum total of all that is real about you, of all that is true. Your divine potential is not something to achieve. It's a reality already, an intuitive awareness of the potential of inner growth and possibility that's already present within you." Charles Fillmore described Messiah as the promise of the visible manifestation of the Christ. This promise of a Messiah is fulfilled in, through, and as us, right here and right now. We are the anointed ones. We are the ones that we have been waiting for. Let that sink in for a moment, but not for too long. We have some work to do. In her book, Be Ye Transformed, Elizabeth Sand Turner writes, "Here is a big test for us. Have we the faith to stand for what we believe in is true? We may find it comparatively easy to defend the truth against believers, but can we defend it against our own subtle doubts? It is only when we have awakened to a realization of the divine life, the Christ in us, that we are ready to give attention to the steps that need to be taken in consciousness in order to express outwardly that which has been conceived inwardly." So some of your homework is to consider this last point, that you are it. You are that of God in expression. And with all of the promise and potential in that knowing of Christ in you, your hope of glory, what do you imagine glory could look like in your lives, in our community, in the world? How are we meant to give witness to the light, the indwelling Christ? In his book, Birthing a Greater Reality, A Guide for Conscious Evolution, Unity Minister Reverend Robert Brummett writes, "The most important choice facing us today is the willingness to do the work of transforming consciousness, beginning with ourselves. We begin this work by recognizing the illusions that keep us asleep and addicted to conflict and suffering. To be transformed, we must be willing to do the vital work of personal healing and awakening, both within ourselves and within our personal relationships. And as we do this transformative work, we set the stage for global transformation." Brummett calls us to be conscious evolutionaries. He writes, "You are stepping into a new dimension of your life. The universe is now consciously evolving through you. The divine pattern within your soul is being activated through your heart's deepest desire. Pregnant with the potential of a greater reality, you are about to make a quantum leap in fulfilling your purpose in this life, which is to become a fully conscious expression of the One Presence. There is a calling of the soul within each one of us to be an agent of spiritual healing in some way, big or small. This calling is intended to disrupt old patterns of thought and behavior that do not serve our soul's longing for connection, love, and compassion. In a Christmas lesson from 1911, Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore wrote, "In the beginning, angels sang that wonderful message to the whole world, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to all. Now the time is coming, and I think we are fast growing toward it, when it will express this message through us at all times. We will have Christmas year-round by giving forth that goodwill, that peace, and that spirit of love, which is the very foundation of the Christ, whose birth and whose teaching and whose character we are celebrating." Friends, I invite you to listen to the voice of silence within. It is saying to you, you are a point of light in the infinite light of God. You are an expression of love in the limitless love of the infinite. You are an experience of wholeness and health, and the activity of the allness of healing life. You are a flow of substance, of abundance, within the all-sufficiency of infinite supply. And so from this consciousness, let's affirm, I am the ever-renewing, ever-unfolding expression of God's perfect life in me. And so how in particular does that of God express through us as us? I'm aware that my standing here this morning in all of my humanity, but with an awareness of a divine power within me, is bearing witness to the light. Mateo and everyone involved in the Eagle Scouts project bear witness to the light. As a community stretching beyond our comfort zone at times and creatively imagining ways to continue our work of transforming consciousness through virtual means bears witness to the light. This past Christmas Eve service, with so many virtual participants, some of you perhaps willing to stretch yourselves with new technology, and a technical team here that can bring it together seamlessly, bears witness to the light. Miss Wolf and the Animal School on Zoomies bear witness to the light. All of our other ministries here showing up and showing out to make a positive difference here on our 5 sacred acres in this local community and far beyond bear witness to the light. Within each one of us, within each one of you, is the divine pattern of what you can be and the gentle urge to press on in the high calling of God. And so the invitation this morning, let the child of your great potential be born. And together we hold this vision. Centered in divine love, we honor and celebrate a world awakened to peace, abundance, and respect for all creation, a world that works for everyone. Friends, it's in this consciousness, and as we keep on keeping on, regardless of appearances in this world, being the best Christ that we can be, that we will make this next world, this next year, 2020, wonderful. Amen. Peace be with you, friends. I behold the Christ you are.
Thank you for tuning into Unity of Fairfax podcast. You're welcome to join us live in Oakton, Virginia, every Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. or view our live stream services from our website at unityoffairfax.org. We appreciate your donations to support this podcast to make our message of positive, practical spirituality more accessible to all. See you next time.